This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've been asked by a few folks, and it's summertime, and that means we're getting ready for SummerSlam. A week to go until SummerSlam. You've heard this man before on CBS Sports Radio. Maybe sometime in the future you'll be hearing him again. It is Taz, former pro wrestling superstar, former world champion, current commentator, host of the Taz Show. You can hear it every day, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern, at thetazshow.com. That's at tazshow.com. Taz joins us on the show tonight. Taz, thanks for joining us, my friend.
Hey, Ken, it's my pleasure, buddy. I appreciate you having me on, man. What's up?
Well, nothing much. I've been asked a whole bunch of times to go, gosh, you speak so much about pro wrestling, and there's so many different little things in there that you throw in there. Have Taz on. So I'm happy to have you on. happy to talk about what's coming up with SummerSlam, of course, a week from now and everything there. Also, I didn't know. Now, you're from Brooklyn originally. You're a fan of what, the Knicks? Are you a Mets fan?
Here's my deal. I'm glad you brought this up, okay?
Uh-huh.
So here's the deal, Ken. I grew up a Mets Jet fan, unfortunately, my whole life, right? So I grew up and lived in Brooklyn, lived in Queens, and as a kid, you know, and all over. Went to high school in East New York, Brooklyn, all this jazz. Mets, Jets. I'm still a big Mets fan, and I'm suffering. So I'm still a big Mets fan, as our whole team's on the IR. But this is what happened. A few years ago with the Jets, I had enough. I was sick of the torture. So what I did was I jumped, and I went to the only real legitimate New York State team, and I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. So I went from the frying pan into the hot pan. So so I'm a Bills fan now. So,
wow,
so
you
just, yeah.
So what led you into making the switch? Because if you would have switched to, like, the Patriots or Brady, people would have went nuts.
Get off the bit. No, listen, that right there is sacrilegious. And even on my show, the Taz Show, I talk a lot of sports. And people, I have a lot of people from New England and you know, especially Massachusetts that call my show every day. I love them, but I hate their guts when they bring the Patriots up. I destroy them. I verbally abuse them. I despise everything New England. But I could never go be a Patriots fan. I almost was going to be, say, the hell with it, I'll be a Giant fan. But they're in New Jersey also. So, see, and I live on Long Island now the past, I don't know, 15 years. And see, what happened was that for all those years I was a Jet fan, they were at least practicing and doing their summer training at Hofstra, their camp. So I would go down. I live in Nassau County, and Hofstra's in Nassau County. So I felt like there was still some connectivity to New York. You know, they were on Long Island. Now,
yeah.
A few years back, they moved to that big Palatial Training Center in Jersey there. And everything's Jersey with the Jets. So I'm like, you know what? I can't take the GM and the front office being horrendous. The quarterback situation's still horrible. Yeah. And, you know, I like Tyrod Taylor. And believe it or not, I was one of the guys that actually kind of liked Rex Ryan. So when he jumped over, I'm like, all right, he's a loudmouth, big mouth like me. So I'll root for Rex. He went to Buffalo. I went to Buffalo. Now Rex is gone, which is kind of good. But I'm still a Bills fan, and I'm going to stay a Bills fan. And that's the deal.
Well, I mean, at least you didn't pick a front runner. So I'm always going to give you that type of credit. Taz joining us on the show. Former pro wrestling superstar, world champion, current commentator, host of the Taz Show. Find it at the Taz Show, at TazShow.com. That's at TazShow.com, 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern. Okay, this is an open-ended question. You've done basically everything that there is, and I'll get the SummerSlam here in a bit.
Yeah, no,
but I love the classic part of wrestling. I love the history of wrestling. How much from when, and you didn't stop, I mean, gosh, you stopped wrestling just a little bit ago, really. How much has wrestling changed since you got in the business to where it is now?
Oh, my God. It's immensely a massive change, and a good change, because, you know, everything evolves, right? So the athletes have changed. So that's the main thing for me. Like, during my prime, and I broke in the business, my first match was, like, in 1987. And then I wrestled all the way to, I don't know, the early 2000s, but then segued into the commentary booth for a lot of years and stuff. But the thing was, I was always in the business, you know, even after I retired due to injuries. But what the main difference, Ken, is basically the athletes themselves. Back when I came up, it was the land of the giants. Everybody was gigantic, you know, 6'5", 6'3", 280, 290. It was like just the locker room was full of like defensive linemen. That's what it looked like, you know? And here I was 5'8", 5'9". So like I was 245 pounds. I was considered undersized, you know? So my point is, what's changed over the past, I don't know, let's say 7 to 10 years, as far as the athletes, is the size. They're not, the guys aren't as big. There's more of a, steroid and growth hormone awareness thing going on, and drug testing and whatnot, and because mainstream sports jumped on that, and I think Vince McMahon leads the charge as the hood ornament for pro wrestling in the industry, so he had a stringent drug testing policy and still does, so you know, I think that made some of the guys shrink down, and also it's about speed. Just like football is different now, where you have all these concussions now more than even years ago, because you know the equipment, the gear that football players wear, for argument's sake, but talking football, can't keep up with the speed and the evolution of the athletes. It's the speed that's causing the concussions. It's the bad hits, but there were bad hits back in the day, but it's the speed of the guys. Football players today are faster. Baseball players are faster. Hockey players are faster. So pro wrestlers are leaner, smaller. When I say small, I mean lighter, and just faster. So it's the speed and size is different. Faster, and it's not a bunch of thick, lumbering guys that look like they can lift a building. Sure, there are a few of those guys still wrestling in WWE. There are some of those guys like a Braun Strowman that you would see, but yet, Braun Strowman, even though he looks like a throwback pro wrestler from WWF days, when Vince's father owned the company, you know, Braun Strowman is a legitimate athlete. This guy is fast. He's got some cardiovascular endurance. You know, he can go. I mean, or a guy like Roman Reigns, who's 6'5", 6'4", he's 265, but he's ripped, and he's an athlete. You know, he's not a big, thick, you know, lumbering guy. So that's the main difference for me, the size and speed of the wrestlers today. It's much more about athleticism.
Taz joining us on the show. Can you tell us about your first match ever?
Yeah, it was horrible. it sucked. Yeah, the guy who trained me is a guy named the Unpredictable Johnny Rods. And he was a guy for many years in WWF who was like an undercard guy, which, you know, he always lost his matches. But that didn't matter. He was a great trainer, a great wrestler, very respected worldwide, and he still has a great wrestling school. So I broke in with him at before he moved to Gleason's gym, and now he's at Gleason's gym for a lot of years in Brooklyn. And Johnny had a lot of connections in Puerto Rico at that time in the late 80s. So all of us, he basically sent us to Puerto Rico to have our first match because he had a hookup with one of the promotions there. So my first match, probably my first 10 or 12 matches, were in Puerto Rico. Now, I've never been to Puerto Rico. I'm not Puerto Rican. I can't speak Puerto Rican. So it was like, what am I doing? And I'm wrestling a guy with a mask who speaks no English. He speaks Puerto Rican. So right there is a problem. No communication. And I'm green as grass. It's my first match. I'm supposed to win. This guy's a veteran. He don't want to lose to me. So then you get a little struggle. But I ended up winning, but it made for a really bad match. So that's the story.
Tell me about Taz joining us on the show. Find him on his show, TazShow.com, 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern. Take me through ECW, because any wrestling fan, it's almost legendary. Your tenure there. And, of course, the entire buildup of what ECW was. Speak about, if you can, how much that means to you, meant to you that time, and the legacy that you've really left that.
Oh, geez. I mean, ECW to me is, I don't want to exaggerate and say it's everything, but, you know, I'm a proud alum from ECW and a pioneer. I'm one of the pioneers from there. I'm an ECW original. I'm proud of that. No one could ever take that from me, and there's a handful of us, and it's a fraternity where we don't maybe all love each other now, but we respect the hell out of each other. And, it's really hard to put in words. I mean, you know, we were doing something where we were kind of ahead of our time, and you got to give due respect to the man who had the vision of it, and that was Paul Heyman, who was the head honcho, who owned the company and took the ownership from Todd Gordon. Where the company was initially Eastern Championship Wrestling, where a gentleman by the name of Todd Gordon from Philadelphia owned it, and Paul was his booker. And then Paul ended up taking it over and changed it to Extreme Championship Wrestling. But, you know, my time there was awesome. I mean, it was professionally I had the most fun as a wrestler as a pure wrestler, the most fun I've ever had was all my years in ECW. And I really developed and had help from my opponents and from Paul Heyman, another wrestler there to help me develop the Taz character, the human suplex machine. And it all just evolved in ECW. And it was just, we were ahead of our time, and we were renegades for real. Like we felt like we were renegades. I mean, because we were the guys and girls that WWE at the time, or WWF at the time, and WCW and AWA and these promotions, we were the guys that they didn't want. You know, a lot of us, you know, either one of the guys maybe was a hothead, had a bad temper. Another guy, you know, couldn't do business the right way. Another guy just had a bad attitude, or another guy maybe had a drinking problem, whatever. I mean, we were kind of the outcast. I mean, so Paul, we were the land of the misfit toys. That's what we were. And Paul was like this mad scientist. So it was amazing. And look, obviously there's a lot there, because, you know, I don't think a man but as intelligent and successful as Vince McMahon is not going to take over and own that library like he does now. And ECW, those three letters kind of are still alive if you go to WWE Network. I mean, geez, my whole career and other ECW wrestlers' careers are just all over that WWE Network, because, you know, Vince owns the library, which I think is cool. I mean, that's cool for, like, younger fans and that maybe just heard of this ECW thing from back in the day, and now they get to see it. But, you know, we were blue collar. You know, that's our audience was blue collar. We were blood and guts, and we were hardcore to the bone. And the hardcore moniker wasn't just about blood and barbed wire and all that. You know, the logo had barbed wire on it and blood and all that. But hardcore to ECW and to the wrestlers, it was a lifestyle. It was the dedication, the passion of competing. Not about blood and baseball bats and weapons. And like me, I was one of the few ECW guys that wasn't my style. I was a wrestler's wrestler, you know, but that kind of was my gimmick, where we all kind of had our own gimmick. So the hardcore moniker was more of a lifestyle, and that's what it was to us behind the scenes, that we were hardcore, passionate pro wrestlers that nobody else wanted. So, but we made some noise, and people still talk about it.
Taz with us on the show. What was the relationship like with the fans of ECW?
Man, it was heavy, man. It was, you know, Ken, it was like, it depends on the towns, like especially Philadelphia and New York. You know, those were like our real hotbed towns, and then it segued into Chicago, became another town that was hot for ECW. And the thing was, like, some of the fans, especially in Philly and New York, you know, they kind of like, at times we had a battle with them to make sure that they didn't take over the show. So they would yell stuff out and say things or expect things. If you messed up or blown a spot in the ring, they would chant, you effed up. And, you know, and as a performer, it's funny, it's entertaining, but you can't let them have that control. You know, I'm old school. I came up an old school way as a wrestler. So if I'm wrestling, if someone starts chanting boring because they don't like the moves that me and my opponent are doing, well, this is going to happen, Ken. You chant boring back in the day when I wrestled. I'm going to take my opponent. I'm going to give him like a headlock takedown, take him to the mat, and I'm going to put him in a hold, and I'm going to stay in that hold. And we ain't moving until you stop chanting boring. So I've done that many times. While I yell out with no microphone, while I got my opponent a headlock, you want boring? I'm going to give you boring. So, and that's controlling them. And then my opponent's like, let's go. Like, you ain't moving, bro. Stay still. So that's how you control them. So you had to do that. You had to be bullish with the ECW audience because they take over. But they loved it. I mean, and we love them. I mean, it was a true. Without that audience, we'd have nothing. I mean, the ECW fan base nationwide, worldwide, was a huge part of the success that the company had.
Taz joining us on the show. It's because I've heard that story before about some of the guys who, and you say you're old school. I mean, guys in the 50s. Where people would say, "God, this is boring." All right, well, I'm just going to stay in this hold here for the next 15 minutes, and I'll show you the way it is.
That's right.
Does any of the stuff today, because you are cut from the different cloth, from the old cloth, does any of the stuff today bother you at all? Because I know you said the change is for the better. Is there anything that you wish, we could do without that?
A little bit. I think that sometimes the wrestlers today, and even during my day, some of the guys were guilty of this. I think a good chunk of today's wrestlers, this is the only knock I have on some of the guys and girls today. They they want the because of the popularity of social media now, you know, mm-hmm. they want they clamor for so much attention on social media that I think sometimes, and they try to segue into their matches, like where they're trying to, people understand it's a show. They know it's entertainment. So it's confusing for them when you try to utilize your social media towards an angle, towards a match, you know, when it's like, it confuses people. I always believe in, you got to be careful of insulting people's intelligence. So that would be the one thing. Like, I think some of the younger talent today, the way they use their social media is a little hokey, a little corny to me. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds weird. I bet you're expecting something different. As far as in the ring, I actually, I feel bad for some of these guys and girls today because, yeah, they're making good money and they're getting great exposure. But the problem is they don't have a lot, the bulk of them, especially in WWE, do not have the creative freedom to go in there and do what we call a match in the ring. You know, a lot of times where they just got to go out and the agent of the match, which stems from the front office, wants to know, not move for move, what you're going to do, but give me a good idea what's going to happen in this whole match. During my time, it wasn't that like that. We part of being, the fun part about being a pro wrestler and the fun part about being a wrestler fan is watching the true performance of these two guys or these two girls wrestling, where they're ad-libbing out there. That's the fun of it. It's spontaneous. It's unpredictable. Where today, a lot of it is predictable with the talent, but that's the direction they're given. It's not their fault. So if the coach tells, you know, the quarterback and the offensive coordinator tells the quarterback, run these plays, run this series of plays, and the quarterback's, well, I don't know, I think we can run a little, you know, run a little dump pass in the flat as opposed to, you know, running a deeper, you know, a corner route or something. Mm-hmm. No, you can't die in that hill unless you're like a, you know, veteran, like a successful guy like a Brady or something like that. But, you know, you can't buck the system, right, for the most part. And maybe that's a bad example, but it's the same way. When you get given a direction by the company, you have to follow. And I think some of the talent today, the young talent, and again, it's because of the office, they're micromanaged a lot, and they don't have that ability to really ad lib because they're not allowed to, you know. And that's not the wrestler's fault. That's the company's fault, in my opinion. So, but I'm old school, but yet I've learned to be new school because of all my years, my later years, being a color commentator for WWE for years and TNA. So I learned to be around the younger current wrestlers and call their matches and get them over. And I understand, and being an agent meetings, a booking meetings for so many years, how things are different now. And how can, I mean, for me, I was a wrestler. Now, wrestlers today, they're TV performers. That's what they are. It's more than wrestling.
Taz, I want to get to SummerSlam, but you know what? I'm going to wait because I know you got it coming up on Monday morning. I know you got it coming up throughout the week. TazShow.com, 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern. And then, who knows, maybe we'll find out more from you coming up as we get towards SummerSlam and then right after SummerSlam right here, my friend.
Yeah, Ken, you never know. There could be something special happening soon. Let's just put it that way. Maybe around SummerSlam. I'll just leave it at that, my friend. But yeah, I mean, I'm sorry we ran short, but I would, you know, anytime you want me back on, if I'm able, I'm on, bro. I appreciate it, Ken.
Pleasure's all mine. For the next big one after that, you know I'd love to have you on right before that too, my friend. I thank you very much for the time. All the best.
I can. Keep rocking, buddy. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.